Well, our Youth Express Hour begins now, and I'm really happy to have our first guest with us. She just graduated from Pittsburgh Kappa and is heading on to Temple University this fall. She's from Greenfield, and she is Leah DeFlitch. Good morning.
Thanks for having me.
I'm glad that you're here. Before we talk about what we're here to talk about, How was graduation? Was it everything you thought it was going to be? Were you surprised?
Actually, the whole thing went by so quickly that I felt like I couldn't have time to think about my own emotions. But it was really lovely, other than that.
How large is Kappa's graduating class, roughly?
The class was about 140 when it all came down to it.
That's bigger than I would have thought.
Really?
I never really thought about it, but and because it's the creative and performing arts school in Pittsburgh Public Schools, not that there wouldn't be creativity at other schools too, but I'll bet there's a pretty creative graduation ceremony that takes place.
Yeah, I would say about 3/4 of our grad caps were decorated, and everyone getting on stage to receive their diploma was like a performance, which is very entertaining.
What was your major there?
My major was literary arts.
And did you go to Kappa? When did you enter Kappa?
I entered in sixth grade, so I guess 7 years of literary arts training.
Wow, that's got to be quite an attachment as you get ready to go. Pittsburgh Kappa does have a middle school as well as a high school. Where was your earlier schooling?
My earlier schooling was at Minideo, which is like a Greenfield feeder school.
So I hope, I suspect you qualified for the Pittsburgh Promise
scholarship. I did, yeah.
Isn't that incredible? And you're going to be going off to Temple in Philly and majoring in writing or rhetoric, I'm guessing?
I'm actually majoring in neuroscience, which I could discuss.
Yeah, I would like to know about that. How did you come to that? I made a terrible assumption, although knowing how to write matters regardless.
Yeah, a lot of my college essays were about the connection between science and art. But when I got really into neuroscience because I read a bunch of neuroscience novels at the library, I just picked them off the shelves and started reading them. And then I think I found the connection between writing and science through the novels. So
now, I'm surprised it's sort of a genre of neuroscience novels. Could you tell me an example or two?
Yeah, sure. So the first one that I read actually was called Difference of Gender, and it just talked about how there's a lot less difference between male and female brains that is perpetuated in the media. And then there's another one called Physics and Mind, and that's just about how quantum physics is in neuroscience. Yeah.
Okay, so these are nonfiction.
Yes, they're nonfiction.
When you when you first said that, I was thinking these were fiction that focused on neural science. I like books like that a lot.
Me too.
I have always found, I mean, the brain is fascinating, and I think despite what anybody might think, we are just beginning to understand parts of it, if we even truly do. Well, that should be fun, and I'll bet Temple, I know they have a great medical school, so I would imagine there's a great school there as well. When do you start?
I start August 21st is my move-in date.
So are you, I've talked to a lot of students over the past few weeks that just graduated. Many are saying, I wish it would happen already. I just want to go, as opposed to, you know, wanting to be in this kind of
limbo.
Limbo, yeah, that's the best way to put it. Is that how you feel?
Yeah, I feel strange being in Pittsburgh, knowing that in 2 months I'll be somewhere else, totally different. But I think that it's nice to have a transition period between 7 years in Pittsburgh at Pittsburgh Kappa and then the next 4 years at Philadelphia Temple.
So let's talk about this journal. It's called Large Print, and it's, you know, take an 8.5 by 11 inch piece of paper, fold it in half so that you have a, what, a 5.5 by 8 inch piece of paper. Fold it in half, top to bottom, and make glossy pages and nice print and pictures, and you have about a 36-page book or so, and that's what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all full of teen writing, and the editor is who we're talking to. Tell me a bit about how this came about.
Sure. So in the fall of my junior year, I was talking to one of the librarians at the time, Joseph, who is actually a student teacher at Kappa now, but he was the teen librarian there, and just asked me what I was looking to do, what projects I wanted to start, and I told Joseph that I was just looking to continue teen writing in any way possible. And then I was like, what if we started a teen journal? Would that be possible? And he was like, we could totally do that. So then that spearheaded the idea for me.
Now, some people might be thinking, wait a minute, there are blogs and Facebook pages and other ways to get writing into the hands of other people. But you've chosen print, which I'm curious kind of how your thinking went on that.
I feel like a lot of my thinking was based on the idea that once you have a physical copy of a journal that's filled with teen-submitted and teen-edited writing, it becomes a lot more real to people. It becomes a lot more professional, and it's something that people can understand better. I feel like when you think about all the things that exist for teens, a lot of them are not, they're not considered real forms unless they're like printed, unless they have like an end goal. And so I think for me, I wanted to have a printed journal, not only to give to the people who submitted and were accepted, but also to show people this is something that we made as teens.
I think that's really important. How did your collaborators react to that? They must have shared some affinity for this idea, or they wouldn't have participated, I guess.
Oh, do you mean the submitters?
Yeah, your fellow writers.
Yeah. I think they really enjoyed having like an actual copy. We had a launch party. It was called last June, spring, and that was nice to see everyone just pick up the copies and physically read them. I think that is part of the like a lure for me.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about Large Print, which is a brand new literary publication. It's actually, is this the third edition or?
So we're talking about the first, but we're working on our second.
Okay,
actually,
this is the very first because I knew the project. It's clear that this would be your first because you began thinking about it in 2016, I think.
Yeah.
And it would take a while to get to this point. I have to ask about the name Large Print.
Sure, go for it.
Where did that come from? My immediate reaction is, oh, this is from this is for people that need large print to read, but that's not it at all.
Yeah, so actually we were brainstorming in one of our first team meetings, and we were just thinking about the title, and Joseph was there. Joseph is a big part of this, if you couldn't tell. And I suggested something that had to do with the library, and then Joseph said Large Print. And I think that it's a very small name, but the idea of it is just, it's a big idea for teen writing. So large print, it speaks volumes. It's very important.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah,
a
thank
lot.
You.
So what kind of writing will people find in Large Print? Oh, and before that, how can people get a hold of it?
So it's actually online on our website. If you search Large Print, there will be a PDF document. So it is in, we printed 75 copies and distributed them during our launch party. But we do have a PDF online, and that's how you can get a hold of it.
Excellent. So the PDF copies, if printed, are more or less identical to the layout
of
the book.
Yeah, more or less.
So you can have it. It would be really expensive to print thousands of copies of this. But maybe someday. So you can look, just search on Large Print Carnegie Library, and it will come right up. So tell me about the writing that's in there.
Yeah, sure. So there's three genres of writing. We have nonfiction, fiction, and poetry. And we receive submissions from each of the categories. We often get a lot more poetry submissions than nonfiction and fiction, just because poetry is often more written than prose. And then from that, we decide which pieces we want in the edition. So in this edition, there's about 7 poetry and I think 2 nonfiction and 3 fiction.
It must be hard to manage the submissions as they come in. Do you offer notes or critique, and do you go back and ask for redrafting or clarifying parts?
Sure. So we have 3 different genre editors, and each of them are subscribed to a different genre. And each of those genre editors are responsible for picking the pieces that they believe would be the best for editing, and then they go back once they pick them and just do some small edits, and if they feel that they want to ask the author to make a larger edit, then they can basically just contact them and say, we're thinking of publishing this, but we want another edit involved.
Have you actually, I know since you've had the launch party, you've probably met most of the authors face to face, but are there some cases where you are editing and evaluating work that you eventually choose to publish it where you haven't actually seen the person that composed it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure all of the pieces in this document, we didn't see the authors before we published them, and we only met the authors face to face at the launch party.
That had to be really cool because you've got this mental picture of who he or she is, and then
totally.
You meet them.
Actually, when we were at the launch party, I met a girl whose writing I really enjoyed, because I review all the pieces after they've been like picked and everything, and I was like, it's really nice to put a face to the name, if you know what I mean, and I really enjoy that.
What do you think as, I mean, you've had a chance to look at a lot of youth writing, are there common threads that I guess I'm asking 2 types of things. One, I'm wondering if there are common subject areas or aspects of the human condition that seem to repeat themselves, certain themes or areas of interest or areas of warranting discussion. Does anything come to mind that way?
Yeah, as far as teen writing, I've read almost all of the pieces that were submitted just because it was the first edition and I wanted to go over them. And I feel like there's a lot of commonalities in terms of themes when it comes to families, or it comes to not the happiest themes, you might say, like difficulties with like the death of a family member or difficulties with like losing someone you love. But a lot of teen writing, I was surprised to see focused on families and focused on people who were really important. Not because I didn't think that teens don't have people important to them, but because I assumed it would be more about friends or love. But a lot of it was about just like family relationships. And that was refreshing, I think.
I'll bet. And in terms of sharpening writing or guidance you might have provided to your peers, because often writing that seems perfect to the person who wrote it might need a little help. Were there some common editorial changes that you felt were necessary? I guess I'm thinking in part about somebody who might try to take on a project like this and what your experience was in trying to edit. It's hard because this is creative work and it's voluntary work and these are peers. What did you find were some common things that might need to be sharpened?
I think I noticed a lot of writing was very vague, and I think that that's a commonality in almost all writing, like everywhere, from teens to adults. Any sort of writing that needs to be sharpened often doesn't, it lacks specificity. And so when you add a level of personality to the piece, you're often just adding more detail and you're going further into what it really means. So when I read pieces that I don't think are fit or need more work, I think it's also because they just need more detail.
That's a really good insight because it all those generalities must make it seem, I don't want to say superficial, but just it's not. If there are generalities, they I wonder, do you think folks are just afraid to put the detail in?
Yeah, often. So I took a nonfiction class. Well, I take many nonfiction classes at Kappa. And one thing my teacher would always say is you think by adding specificity about your life that it's going to make readers think that they can't relate. But actually, adding specificity leads more people to relate to your writing in a way that you can't do if you just have vague overgeneralizations. So I think that often people don't add detail about their own life or about the piece because they think it's going to alienate a writer. But in reality, what it does is allow a reader or a writer to connect with it in a different way rather than just having a vague idea.
What do you like to write?
Oh, wow. What do I like to write? I think my favorite thing to write is poetry. I think that the way you pick words in poetry is different from any sort of prose writing that I've ever done.
If you're just joining us, this is Leah DeFlitch, who just graduated from Pittsburgh Kappa, and she spawned a magazine. This is really exciting. This is, yeah, I hope this is around forever. It's called Large Print.
Oh, I hope so too.
It's a literary journal. It's a physical literary journal that you can hold in your hand, and it features teen writers. Are they all from Pittsburgh public schools, or does it go beyond?
It actually goes in and around Allegheny County is our current definition. It used to just be Allegheny County, and then we were like, why not expand? So it's really anyone that lives or attends school or in and around Allegheny County.
Now, here's a question I get asked all the time, and not that I ever tire of answering it, but is your audience your peers? Is it adults? Is it anybody and everybody?
I think that our audience for Large Print, we would like to be anybody and everybody. It starts with teens, I think, though. A lot of the work that is in here is teen-directed, and so I think it appeals to teens more than it would adults. But I would prefer that it would be everywhere, because I think that adults don't often see teen writing. And I think part of my motivation for creating this journal was to have an outlet, but also a way to advertise this teen writing. Like, this is what teens think. This is why it's important.
Yeah, I think that that is really important. In a lot of the work that we do, of course we want teens to hear work from other teens, but I think there's a lot of prejudging that goes on where an adult, or frankly any person of any age, might assume that somebody does not have well-reasoned ideas about things, or what they may be thinking about certain issues, or their ability to tell a story or to write, and you help to really eliminate some preconceptions like that by demonstrating what you have in the book to offer. And so instead of somebody maybe seeing you hanging out, you know, at Kappa and saying, huh, who is this person? I'll bet this person is just, oh, she's thinking about, you know, prom or thinking about whatever she's going to do over the weekend, whatever frivolous thing. They discover that there's, you know, some depth and some excitement in what you've done. Can you tell me any of the, I don't want you to single anything out, but did anything really strike you among the submissions that you got in terms of method or themes, the way they were written?
Yeah, so I was talking earlier about a piece that I really enjoyed and meeting the face of that of that person, and I just liked there was one piece that was just about rape culture, and that was a nonfiction piece, and I was really interested to see nonfiction. For me, I always write personal nonfiction, which includes like memoirs or personal essays, but this nonfiction was more journalistic in its point of view, so I really enjoyed that. And then there was another piece by a girl that actually goes to Kappa, and it was just about her grandmother and her family experience with language And I really like that piece as well. But I think that what you said earlier about teens having a depth to them and often people not understanding that is really important for me and really important for the journal, because each of these pieces have a depth that I think is added to because they are teens and because they're having the experiences that they're having.
I think that some of my best writing was probably done when I was a teen. And I don't know if any other adults have told you that. As I think back, I still write, but I guess, I don't know, I think sometimes you always think things you did earlier in life are better than sometimes the things you do now. But
that's true.
Teens are just remarkable writers. I just read The Perks of Being a Wallflower. I'll bet you've read that book.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And I hadn't read it. And I think the author finished that book when he was only in his early 20s. And it's memoirs from his high school years. And it's a phenomenal book. And there's other relatively young writers that have done incredible things. And probably if a journal like this existed for him, I think it's Steve
Chbosky.
Thank you, Chbosky.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
You're right. Thank you. He probably would have been publishing something like this.
And then
this.
Perks of Being a Wallflower would be in a journal.
Yeah,
that would be
you'd be able to say, look at this here. Do you think some of the people that have submitted to you are thinking about careers as writers?
I definitely think that. I think also, I mean, the talent that's in the journal, I hope these people become writers or something along the lines of it. But I know that for a lot of teens, it can be scary to think, okay, I'm going to become an artist when I grow up. I feel like a lot of it is the pressure of having to decide early. But you can become a writer in many different ways, so I think that's important to leave for them.
You know, when I was growing up, I'm not sure where I got this from, but I can't really recall in a high school anybody proposing that art is a career or being a writer would be a career that you could pursue. And it might have been just the era in which I grew up, where lots of people were looking at business and engineering and science. I think that's still the case. Does Kappa get into the economics of being an artist, or can you talk about what they do to expose you to that? Like, what are there classes that talk about, like, how you make a living as an artist?
I think for my department, which is literary arts, a lot of our time is spent thinking about how writers collaborate with the outside world.
Yeah.
And I don't think that there are a lot of classes on how to become a writer or how to live as an artist in the world. But we do a very good job of showing people that are artists that are functioning in the community when they do come into Kappa. So we have a lot of like guests that come in, read their work, or we have writers in the community who work with us in workshops. So I think that Kappa, you're not expected to become an artist if you don't want to at Kappa, but you are given the opportunity to and encouraged if that is what you believe is your calling.
Yeah, and you also, I was going to say, you're exposed daily to professionals working in those fields. And not everybody at Kappa is necessarily, you're an example, looking at neuroscience. How can people get involved with Large Print as your second edition gets ready? What's the best way to learn more and maybe submit work?
So if you're looking to submit, the easiest way to do that is to go onto Carnegie Library's website and just search Large Print. And then there'll be a link that shows up that will just give you instructions on how to submit and where to put your submission in. And that would be the easiest way to do that. Another way to get involved if you're looking to become part of our team would just to be asking your teen librarians what you can do or how you can become involved. They'll know what to say. But our link for submitting is on the website, and as well as the PDF.
Oh, this is great. I'm at the website now, and we've linked to it from our website. You can just click, and there's a form, and I'm guessing, yep, you can just upload a file of your writing.
It's pretty easy.
It doesn't get too much easier than that. We'd love to record any students that would like to read their own work, or if students would like their work to be read by others, we'll coordinate that too to play here Saturday morning or on Youth Express. I can't believe how fast this all went by, Leah. Is there anything else you'd like to mention?
No, I'm just really glad to be on the show and happy to be advertising teen writing always.
Look for large print Carnegie Library of Pittsburgh. And why don't you consider downloading the PDFs that are there too, or bringing them up on your screen and enjoying some reading from perspectives and voices you probably haven't heard before. I suspect you're going to find themes and ideas that are totally new to you, because they're people you've never met. Thanks so much
for
being with us. Again, Carnegie Library of Pittsburgh, it's the large print program, Carnegie Library of Pittsburgh Large Print Teen Literary Journal, with our thanks to Leah DeFlitch.